G'day punters, welcome back to the AFL Lions 2014 as we have a look at round 6. Did drop a couple there last week, but the big fella Sting was still showing the way. Fair bit to like about this round, probably won't go quite as hard as we did last start. What are you thinking, Cliffo?
Well, look, on reflection, I made 7 bets last week. I'm actually still happy with 6 of them. Wasn't too thrilled on further thought about the North Melbourne one, but happy to take Sydney and Carlton on. You knew that they'd try for the first time this season.
That's the way they get you, mate. That's the way they always get you.
But, you know, 28 and 14 through 6 weeks, you take that, or through 5 weeks, I should say.
Certainly will. We'll stick it up again this week, I think.
We kick things off Friday afternoon at the MCG with the traditional Anzac Day clash between Collingwood and Essendon. Magpies laying between 5.5 and 6.5 points. Total points line in the mid-170s.
I'm bullish on the overs in this game. I think Anzac Day, the head-to-head can go either way, even though Collingwood have certainly shown the better form. I think the real cream of the Essendon midfield, particularly if Goddard plays, will serve it up, and it could turn into a bit of a shootout. The Pies have won 4 of the last 5, average score about 195 across those contests, so happy to take on the mid-170s line at the over.
Yeah, the head-to-head record for me pushed with the over. The only thing that scares me is both sides coming off a 6-day break, which traditionally is a pretty strong pointer to the unders, and particularly for both these sides, but that mid-170s for a day game line is pretty low. So I'm quite happy to sit this one out. Later on the Friday, about 5:45 Eastern Standard Time or 7:45 over in New Zealand, St Kilda notionally hosting Brisbane at Westpac Stadium in Wellington, I believe. The Saints laying 15.5 to 16.5 total points line in the high 160s.
Look, I'd convince myself that this one wasn't worth a bet. And then, yeah, the New Zealand thing, whether that has an impact, I'm not sure. Brisbane have been obviously terrible the last 3 or 4 weeks. They're not looking to get any better in the short term, with still missing that same cattle. St Kilda have been super impressive. Great win for them last week. And look, if you're compulsive and you really had to have a dip, then you'd probably take the minus in this one. But not enough in it for me to get excited about.
My notes for this one are pretty short. There's a lot of irrelevant in New Zealand question mark.
Yeah.
Next to a lot of stats here. They're very easy lay down. We move on Friday evening to Paterson Stadium, Subiaco for Fremantle hosting the Kangaroos. Frio laying between 21.5 and 23.5 total points line in the high 160s.
Yeah, I'm going to sit this one out. I was leaning towards the over in this game. I'm not sure why. I think this one might be one that bucks the trend a little bit. The way both of these sides need to play against each other to get a win. North Melbourne need to play expansive football, and Fremantle are going to need to kick a big enough score to beat them. So I think the points could get up. But given I did my ass on both of these sides last week, I'm going to put them in the shed for this week and let them think about what they've done to me.
I'm going to butter up this week with the Dockers. Dockers since 2012, 14 and 6 against the spread as home favourites. North, 5 and 12 against the spread on the road. But the big one for me is Ross Lyon just owning Brad Scott. In 2 games between these teams since he's gone to the Dockers, Freo have won by 38 and 53. And the last 4 with Lyon at St Kilda, they won by 65, 9, 52 and 104. So 5 paddlings out of 6 starts.
Yeah.
At Perth, I'm happy to lay the 21.5.
Very good. Very good.
On Saturday afternoon, we head to the Gold Coast, Metricon Stadium, for the Suns hosting GWS. The Suns laying about 5 goals, 28.5 to 30.5, total points line in the mid-180s.
Suns will be very disappointed with their last home effort, getting dicked by 100 points up there by the Hawkies. They'll want to really get out there and put on a good show for their fans. Also want to make a bit of a statement that they're far more advanced than the little brothers down the road there in Western Sydney. GWS are a shadow without Mumford in the middle. They've got their bit rudderless in there. The loss of Green, who's one of their bigger midfield bodies through suspension, lacking a bit of grunt, and lingering doubt over Ward and Shaw, obviously 2 very important players for them. That was more than enough for me to take the minus.
Yeah, I couldn't find myself a bet at the line here. I was very close to taking the overs. The Suns were a really good overs team in day games, going 13-4 to the over in day games since 2012. The only thing that worries me again, and it's a bit like with Collingwood Essendon, both sides coming off a six-day break, which traditionally is a pointer to the under. That was enough to cancel it out for me. I'll let this one slide. Saturday twilight game, we're at the Docklands, Etihad Stadium for Carlton hosting West Coast. Carlton getting between 5.5 and 7.5 start from the Eagles. Total points line in the mid to high 180s.
After 3 weeks, this game could have opened up with the Blues getting 40, effectively. So Eagles have been very ordinary the last couple of weeks. No Glass at the back leaves them really vulnerable. I think Hearn's an even bigger out for them. Without Hearn and Waters on half back, they just seem really, they don't get that drive and that transition. They lack the ability to actually drive the ball into their forward line quickly and give those big marking targets the time they need to play one on one. The Blues obviously had a bit of a revival last week. They had a crack for the first time all year, effectively. But look, with two sides that are so severely out of form and down on key personnel, I couldn't justify getting involved in this one.
Well, I've got a bet here, but it's not at the line. Genuine trap game for West Coast. Their form a couple of weeks ago, as you said, would have pointed to a huge start here. Real problems if they actually drop this game in terms of their final eight aspirations. I'm happy to play the under. Carlton 9-4 under off breaks of 6 days or less since 2012, as they have here. And I'm just going to keep riding this West Coast under in twilight and night games things until it ends. I know Etihad Stadium's a bit of a moot point when it comes to the weather, but the 7 in the last 9 between these sides have totaled 185 or less, including all 3 at the Docklands. Happy to go under the 188.5 here.
Beautiful.
Saturday night, we're at the MCG for Melbourne hosting Sydney. Pardon me.
Sort yourself out, mate.
The Demons getting between 42.5 and 44.5, total points line in the mid to high 160s.
Look, the only bet here is the under. Melbourne now 5-0 the under this year, just battling to kick a score. That being said, the prospect of Sydney just being the bully boys that they are and coming out and absolutely flogging them by 20 goals is a very real prospect given where those two sides are and the fact that Sydney have got some question marks over them. So that was just enough for me to stay out of that mid-160s line where there's just not enough fat there for that sort of 15-goal drubbing.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same. Really hard to get a sense now of what the Swans are going to do the next 2 weeks. They've got Melbourne this week and Brisbane the week after. So you feel pretty confident they'll be 4-3 no matter how they approach these two games. And the question is, do they look for two buildings to build some percentage and a bit of momentum, or do they just go through the motions and save the cattle for bigger games down the road? Pretty easy lay down from my perspective. Sunday afternoon, we're back at the Docklands, Etihad Stadium for Western Bulldogs hosting Adelaide. Dogs getting between 4.5 and 6.5 points start. Total points line in the low to mid 190s.
Relatively comparable form line here with these guys in terms of them both playing GWS in the last 2 weeks. There's substantially different results, but there's big reasons for that. And the big one is effectively that the Crows took an opportunity to have a crack against an undermanned team and really try and give their fans something at home, got up for Scotty Thompson's 250th. And when you've got a bloke like Dangerfield having 35 touches and 5 goals, probably makes a little bit of a difference to the overall scoreline. The Dogs were really low on effort last week, and there is absolutely no way that will happen 2 weeks in a row. They'll be out in force, they'll be out to make amends this week and expecting really big things from their young midfield group to make a statement, to make their dad McCartney happy. And with that in mind, the Crows are really going to miss Douglas, who's their best gut runner and creates a lot of space for the likes of Dangerfield and those guys. So that's enough for me to take the points.
Yeah, I couldn't find a bet at the line here. A little hard to line up Adelaide after flat track bullying a couple of sides in the last 2 weeks. It doesn't say much about their first 3 weeks, though, which were very ordinary. I'm happy to play the over here. I've got question marks on both defensive units. Adelaide are 4-1 over in their last five starts at Etihad, 17-9 over in day games, and 23-16 over off a break of seven or more days since 2012. Dogs also have a lean to the over off long breaks. I think both sides try to cut through the middle and rack up scores here. I'm not sure that either unit's particularly good at shutting down. The Crows in the first 3 weeks were leaking goals like nobody's business.
Yeah.
I could see 100 losing this game.
Yeah,
definitely. And therefore pretty happy to play the over 193.5.
No worries.
Sunday afternoon, we're at the MCG for Richmond hosting Hawthorn. The Tigers getting 30.5 to 32.5. Total points line in the low 190s.
Once again, contrasting sort of weeks they had. Richmond, a comfortable win, you'd have to say, although everyone with an opinion seems to say they didn't play very well to get that comfortable win last week, whereas the Hawks were down, but definitely not embarrassed in their effort against Geelong with a bit of improvement to go. Couldn't find a bet at the line here, given that Richmond have upset Hawks in the last two. Even still, that would probably get you to lean towards the points, if anything. But I think the overs is the play in this game. It is the high 180s, but the average score across these two teams, across the last five games, is mid-190s. Both sides can score quickly. They tend to flip the ball around and really transition hard off half-back. And what's certain to be good conditions for footy, I can certainly see 30 goals getting kicked on the day pretty comfortably. So I'm pretty happy to take the over.
Yeah, I couldn't find a bet here, but I did have the lean to the over. I watched that Richmond-Brisbane game on Thursday night, and they were terrible. They beat a glorified Neefel side with about eight first-grade footballers, and late in the third quarter, it looked like they'd get run down. Mm. Eventually, a bit of experience and a few bigger bodies told, but it was one of the more unimpressive seven-goal wins you'll ever see. Yeah. Hawthorn were panels better than Richmond in the way they played on Monday, and they do have a tendency coming off a loss to beat up on inferior sides. There is a very good chance they'll rack up 25 goals in the weekend if they get going. But for the reasons you outlined before in terms of the Richmond head-to-head record, I couldn't bet the line and I couldn't bet the total. So I'm going to let that one slide.
Pussy.
We come to the last game of the weekend, the Sunday Twilight game, and what a ripper this is likely to be. Port Adelaide hosting Geelong at the Adelaide Oval. The Power getting between 3.5 and 4.5 points. Total points line in the low 180s.
Top of the table clash. It's outrageous. Loving the way the Power are playing their football at the moment. I'd love to see them get a big scalp at home like the Cats. But that said, the Cats were just amazing last week. Stevie J's in sublime form. Tomahawk in that sort of mindset's just about unstoppable. I do give the Power a sneaky chance of getting this one at home, but I think the Cat's too good. I'm gonna sit this one out. Probably really should take the small minus here for the Cats. But I just think that Port might be able to pull one out of the bag.
I'm pretty happy to play the small minus here, accepting the fact that Port may well win this game, and maybe if they play it 10 times, they might win three of them. Happy to take the other seven and only have to lay 3.5 points. Geelong won 14 in the last 15 and the last 10 head-to-head. Since the start of last season, Geelong have covered all five times as underdogs, all five times as favourites of less than 15.5. They just get it done. When the opposition is there, the Cats aim up. And I'm happy to lay less than a goal. Porter, a very good side, but they're meeting an outstanding side.
Yeah.
So Geelong at the minus for me.
Good call. Good call, big fella. So what did we end up with?
So I've got four. I've got Fremantle at the minus, Geelong at the minus, the unders in the Carlton West Coast game, and the overs in the Western Bulldogs Adelaide game.
Beautiful. I've got overs on Anzac Day. I've got the Suns at the minus. I've got the Dogs at the plus, and I've got overs Hawks-Tigers on Sunday afternoon at the G.
So there we go. We've got four apiece, and I believe we're actually covering eight of the nine games between us.
So. Well, you couldn't ask for more than that. So looks like we've been watching a fair bit of footy this weekend. I hope you all do as well, and good luck.